I'm Sari.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Seamwork Radio.
Welcome back to Seamwork Radio, where we share practical ideas for building a creative process so you can sew with intention and joy. And if you missed last week's episode, for the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing quick episodes full of tips to answer your most burning sewing questions. And today, we're talking about sewing machine maintenance. So we have 5 tips to better care for your sewing machine. All right, our icebreaker for today. Do you have any sewing machine bloopers, Haley?
I mean, sure. I mean, outside of like, you know, the occasional catastrophic like thread jam and broken needles, which I feel like is like pretty, it's typical stuff. The one that comes to mind isn't really like my blooper, but it's like, it's a pretty major blooper. So when I was in college, I was a lab technician at the sewing lab, which meant like I just like maintained the sewing machines. I cleaned them. I oiled them. I helped people train them on them. And there was this guy who was in my class, and he also happened to be my like arch nemesis. We like did not get along at all. And he was making something out of neoprene, but he didn't know how to work with neoprene. So he was like going around and serging it. Mm-hmm. It does not need to be serged.
It doesn't unravel.
No. I don't know why he was serging it, but he was serging it. And he broke every single serger in the department. I think there must have been like 7 or 8 sergers. There was a lot. He broke all of them.
Wow.
And it was a semester that swimwear class was running. So everybody needed the sergers to like complete their homework.
Yeah.
And so I have like all of these panicking people wanting me to fix a problem that like I honestly didn't even know how to fix what was going on.
That's actually impressive. Breaking 7 sergers, like how do you even do that?
Maybe at the second, like
stop. Yeah. Just keep going.
Just keep going. They were like really, really badly jammed. But even once I like used razor blades to like cut out all of the nests of thread, it messed up something with the timing. And so I had to like wait for Ari, who was the guy who he's the old man who maintenanced our like sewing machines in like a real way.
Yeah.
To show up and fix them all.
So I have a question. Was he your nemesis before this happened?
He was my nemesis before this happened.
And then he was really like your double plus nemesis after that.
Yeah. I had like a confrontation with the whole thing and everything.
I can see why. He sounds like a real piece of work.
Yeah, he was like really self-involved. And I was like young, and so I didn't like have a problem telling him that I thought so. Whereas now I would be like, whatever, you know, you do you.
Now just ask him to pay for the maintenance.
So tell me, do you have any sewing bloopers?
You know, kind of like you, I have the normal bloopers, I think, breaking needles, you know, that kind of thing. Nothing really crazy, but I just have a lot of bloopers in my life generally, though.
Yeah.
Just this morning, I got up. Okay, so I get up pretty early. I get up around 6:15.
Yeah.
And usually what I do now is pour coffee in a travel mug as soon as it's ready, and I take Lucy out for her walk early in the morning at sunrise. Because, well, she also has a nemesis. It's a golden retriever. And the golden retriever goes for a walk at 7. So we try to get out by 6:30 so that she doesn't have to see her most hated and dreaded nemesis. So, you know, I'd just woken up and I set out the travel mug and I took the coffee pot and I started to pour it in the travel mug. And I had the lights really dim and I didn't realize the lid was still on the travel mug. So hot coffee spilled all over my hand. And I was just so, I don't know, flabbergasted because I'd just woken up. I just like ran with the coffee over to the sink, which spilled coffee everywhere all over the floor and all over my sweatshirt that I was wearing. It was total chaos. But things like that happen to me all the time, just not sewing related at all. I just wanted to tell that story because it just happened.
Just regular old nemesis related bloopers.
Yeah, I personally don't have a nemesis, but Lucy sure does. All right. Well, give us your icebreaker for a future episode if you have one. It could be nemesis related or not. If you're a member, you can go to seamwork.com/go/icebreakers, and that'll take you to a thread in our community where you can share your idea for a future question that we'll use as an icebreaker on an episode here of the podcast. All right, so let's get into our topic for today, which is sewing machines. So your sewing machine is definitely one of the most important sewing tools you own, and it's likely one of the biggest investments you've made in your sewing. But a lot of times when you buy one, you're just kind of handed it, and you're expected to know what to do with it, and you don't necessarily. So just like a car, it does need regular care and maintenance. So we are going to be talking about that today and exactly how to do it. It's pretty easy, but it's hard to remember sometimes what needs to be done. So what was your first sewing machine, Haley, and how long did you have it for?
My first sewing machine was a Kenmore, and it's still my sewing machine. I bought it in 2007. Mm-hmm. And I just like it. It's like a nice machine. Yeah. It's not like super fancy, but I was like just about to go to college and I was majoring in fashion. And so I was like, where do I buy a sewing machine? My stepdad was like, Sears.
Of course.
Obviously. So we went to Sears and I got a Kenmore and I still have it. I take care of it. Mm-hmm. It's in good shape. I'm also just one of those people, I'm this way with cars too, where I'm just like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It does what it's supposed to do. Like
point A to point B.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I like don't, I don't want to say I don't value it. I value it, but I don't like feel the need for like bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's my first and only sewing machine. When I do get a new sewing machine, it won't be to replace my Kenmore. It'll be like maybe like a home industrial or something mm-hmm. to use in addition to it.
Yeah. That's smart. I kind of wish I had a home industrial.
Yeah, that's the only thing she struggles with is like if I want to sew some like really heavy bull denim mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
She can do it. It just takes some extra coaxing.
Yeah. I just love how fast industrial machines are.
Same.
That's what I love.
What about your first machine?
So my first machine was a White brand sewing mm-hmm. machine. And my mom bought it for me when I was 16, mm-hmm. maybe 17. So I had just started learning to sew for my grandmother. So I had been sewing on her machine and she got me one of my own to have at home and it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was fine. It lasted many years. I went to college in New York, so I took it with me. And then I gave it to a friend of mine when I moved back. I think I was buying another machine. And so I gave it to somebody or maybe I sold it. I can't remember, but I gave it to somebody I knew and it was a fine machine and it came with a lot of feet. That's mm-hmm. what I remember. And I didn't really know how to use the feet. It took me probably until my next sewing machine before I figured out what to do with all the presser feet.
You're like, that's what all these things do.
But it was fine. You know, it was just one of those very basic, really simple machines that did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I like it. But now I have a fancy Bernina. Mm-hmm. And I've just, you know, after using Berninas for so many years at work, I just am addicted to them. And
yeah.
I love them. And the quality is so wonderful and all the feet are so wonderful. It's just a joy to sew with, but I'm perfectly happy sewing on pretty much any old machine that works well, that functions well.
Yeah, same. I'm also like a little spoiled because I've always worked places that had like tons of machines. Mm-hmm. Like at the office, we have an industrial machine. We have a Bernina. There's a Janome kicking around there, mm-hmm. our backup machine.
Yeah.
So I always work places where there's like other machines. So if I'm ever like, yeah, old Kenmore, just not gonna like that. I just like go to work.
Yeah.
Use a different machine.
Yeah. I think there are so many machines out there that are like, you can get a top of the line if mm-hmm. things really, really, if there are aspects of it that really matter to you. Mm-hmm. You can get a top of the line and spend a lot of money. And I think that's great if you know that's what you like. But I feel like there's a lot of machines out there that are like the Toyotas of sewing machines that
yeah.
just work really well. They last a long time. Don't need a ton of maintenance.
Everybody knows how to work on them.
Yeah. Does what it says on the tin. That's all you need.
Yeah. I'm a real Toyota kind of a girl. So
yeah,
that's me all the way. So what areas of sewing machine maintenance do you feel like you're really good at?
None. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. So my Bernina, one of the things that I do love about my Bernina is that it tells me when it needs oiling and cleaning. So I would otherwise forget about it. Mm-hmm. So that's really, really nice because it knows how much you've sewn on it and can calculate when it needs to be cleaned and oiled. So that part I'm pretty good at. When it tells me to do it, I do it. So that's a feature that I really value because I'm pretty lazy about that kind of thing sometimes. Other than that, I mean, I'm okay at taking it in for service, maybe not as often as I should, but mm-hmm. I do take it in for a service. My machine's pretty new. It's not that old, so I don't worry about it too much right now. But if I didn't have those reminders, I'm not naturally good at it. So what about you?
I'm really good at keeping my machine clean mm-hmm. and remembering to like clean it between projects.
Yeah.
And also I'm like a little bit like anal about things like that. Mm-hmm. Like I really have to clean my sewing space between projects. And with that, I clean my machine. So that's probably what I'm best at, in changing my needle.
Yeah, I do change my needle.
Really good about changing my needles because it makes a huge difference in your quality of sewing. So it's an easier thing for me to remember.
Yeah.
What about the areas that you neglect? What do you neglect?
I do think I neglect professional servicing, mm-hmm. not a ton, but probably more than I should.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think that's the main thing that I should probably do more of.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, that's what I'm guilty of.
Yeah.
I just like know my machine really well. And so like I know when she needs to be serviced mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, when she starts making weird noises.
Yeah.
I'll bring her in. I know that I shouldn't wait until my machine is like in crisis mm-hmm. before I service it. But, you know, that's kind of the way that I've dealt with it to this point.
Yeah.
I could definitely improve on that though.
Yeah. That's how I learned to knit, is my sewing machine broke down during the holiday season when I was just about to make a bunch of gifts. And so I decided I would learn to knit instead, not realizing that knitting is like 10 times as slow as sewing. So
much longer.
But I did learn to knit from that experience.
But it's so inconvenient when someone, like, your sewing machine's gone for a week or two. You're like, what am I supposed to do? What do yeah. I do now? All right. Well, let's dig into these tips. We have 5 tips for you today. And I will kick us off with tip number 1, which is don't avoid your sewing machine manual. I think a lot of people are like intimidated by it. It's this big fat booklet and you don't really want to dig into it. You're like, I know how to use a sewing machine basically. So what else is there to know? But by reading it or even just skimming it, you can get a better understanding of how your machine works. You'll pick up some sewing machine maintenance tips, and you also might learn some like cool features along the way of your sewing machine that you didn't know about before. So I feel like being comfortable with your sewing machine is really like step 1 to like doing your like self-maintenance, and your sewing machine manual is just a really great tool for that.
Yeah. I totally agree. Plus, I like learning about all the different stitches and things that my machine can do.
Same.
It's really fun because then you'll find uses for those things if yeah. you know how to do them. Tip number 2 is to set a reminder for both self-maintenance and for servicing. So I mentioned that my machine has its own reminder system in it, which I absolutely love. But if yours doesn't, you can still set it up for yourself and just kind of fix it and forget it. Mm-hmm. So set reminders for professional maintenance once a year. And that's something that I should probably be doing that I'm not, but that's the general recommendation. And then as far as cleaning it and oiling it, you can do that yourself in most cases. So the frequency really depends on how much you sew, which is why it's really handy to have your machine tell you, because it can calculate how much you've been sewing. But if you sew a lot, you might want to service it or maintain it this way weekly. Or if it's not so frequent, you could do it monthly. So it just really depends on how much you're using your sewing machine at that time. So just make sure to give your machine a quick clean after any particularly linty projects. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important because it builds up in there. So mm-hmm. if you're sewing something that has a lot of fluff coming off of it, then you might want to clean it right after the project.
And something to add to that is if you have any questions about the frequency of cleaning your sewing machine or the particulars of it, ask the person who's servicing your machine, because they might have some really good tips for how often to oil it based on how often you're sewing, all of that kind of stuff. All right, our next tip, which is maybe one of my favorite tips, is to change your needle regularly. So needles are disposable. They are not meant to be used until they are broken.
Yeah.
You want to change your needle just about every 8 hours of use. I think of it as like one larger project, mm-hmm. 2 smaller ones, depending on how large or small those projects are.
Yeah.
And make sure that you're also using a needle that is appropriate for your fabric and for your project, because if you're using the wrong needle, you could be forcing your sewing machine to work a lot harder than mm-hmm. it has to.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It's not just for the sake of the project that you want to change your needle, but also for your machine's sake.
Yes.
I think that's something that I didn't realize a long time ago.
Yeah. You
know, that's a lot more clear to me now. All right, tip number four is to find your favorite cleaning tools and keep them nearby. So this could be makeup brushes, for example, which are really great for getting into all the little crevices and cleaning out lint and little bits of thread. Microfiber cloths, which are also really great for getting large pools of that kind of dust that accumulates from the fabric. One thing to be aware of is that some people like to use canned air to blow their machine out and clean their machine out. This is kind of controversial. A lot of people say that that can end up blowing the debris further into your machine. So that's just something to be aware of. If canned air is something that you've used, that is a risk of using it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not like super anti-canned air.
Yeah.
But I do try to refrain from blowing with my mouth into my machine because the moisture from your breath can be not great for all those metal moving parts.
Yeah, I think with canned air, you just have to be very careful with it.
Yeah.
And make sure that if you're going to use it, you're using it at the right angle and not just blowing stuff into the works.
Yeah, totally. All right. And now our final tip is get to know your sewing machine's cues so you can triage. So is your sewing machine making a weird noise? For me, that's like usually the cue that she's unhappy about something. Is your machine struggling to pierce through the fabric? Are your like feed dogs like not grabbing onto the fabric? Are you just sewing in the same spot over and over again? Is your stitch quality weird? Start to like notice your sewing machine's cues and what they mean. Like very standard course of action. Whenever your sewing machine is acting up is stop. Don't try to keep sewing because you might make it worse. Stop. Change your needle, rethread your sewing machine, including your bobbin. And if the problem is persisting, you can give it a good cleaning, maybe oil it. And if it's still giving you trouble, then it's time to bring it in to a professional.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I feel like changing the needle and rethreading the machine solves the problem like 90% of the time.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10 does the trick.
Sometimes you need to adjust the tension, something like that. But I feel like that's usually where it ends. But I think if it doesn't end there, don't get frustrated. It just means that you need to do further steps to diagnose what's going on. Well, you can get frustrated. You'll probably be frustrated. I'm not going to tell you not to feel that way.
Feel your feelings.
But, you know, just know we've all been there. All right. So I'm going to recap for us really quick. Tip number one is to use your sewing machine manual. I think this is a really, really great tip, and you can learn a lot from your machine manual. Tip number two is to set a reminder for both self-maintenance and for servicing. So remember, professional maintenance once a year. Tip number three is to change your needles regularly. Tip number four is to find your favorite cleaning tools and keep them nearby. And tip number five is to get to know your sewing machine's cues so you can triage if something goes wrong. All right, if this episode has you thinking about cleaning and organizing and taking care of your sewing stuff, check out our free Sewing Spaces guide. So it's called The Ultimate Guide to Setting Up Your Sewing Space, and it's a free mini guide that has tons of tips and ideas for creating a better, more functional sewing area, no matter how much space you have. So you can download it at seamwork.com/go/sewing spaces. So that's seamwork.com/go/sewing spaces, plural. All right, if you like this episode, I would love to ask you a favor. Can you forward this episode to one of your sewing friends who you think would find it helpful? I think this is the number one way that our podcast grows. Our listeners are just so nice and kind and amazing. In addition to leaving positive reviews, you guys are always recommending the podcast on social media and in other places. And we really, really appreciate that. You know, we don't really have a way to advertise the podcast. It's not always easy to find new podcasts on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or other podcast platforms. So word of mouth is really the number one way that people learn about the podcast. So we really appreciate it if you share it with people that you know. You can also find us on YouTube at Seamwork Video. You can find us on Instagram at Seamwork. And if you'd like to join Seamwork and become part of our private community, plus get access to hundreds of sewing patterns and dozens of sew-along classes, podcast listeners get a 50% off lifetime discount when you join at seamwork.com/go/podcast50. So that's seamwork.com/go/podcast50. And that does it for us this week. I'm Sari.
And I'm Haley.
And this is Seamwork Radio. Seamwork Radio is brought to you by the team at Seamwork. Seamwork's an online community that supports you in creating a wardrobe that feels right for you. When you join us at Seamwork, you become part of our private community of makers, and you also get access to monthly sew-along classes, a library of over 200 sewing patterns, and tons of great resources to help guide you through the sewing adventure that you choose. Podcast listeners can get half off a Seamwork Unlimited membership, which means you can download as many of those 200 plus patterns as you want at any time, and our community will be there to guide and support you. If you'd like to join us for half off, just visit seamwork.com/go/podcast50. You can also find us on Instagram at Seamwork or visit our YouTube channel, which is called Seamwork Video. We love hearing from you, so let us know if there's a topic or a personal story that you'd like us to cover. Thanks for listening to Seamwork Radio. Mm-hmm.